broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
And good morning. Let us pray on this Monday of the 15th week of Ordinary Time, the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are Catholic from the start here on Morning Glory on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, Monday, July 16th in progress here. Good morning to you. I'm Tom Price here at the EWTN studios in Birmingham. And from the Guadalupe Radio studios in Washington, D.C., we're joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Alisa Murphy is our producer. Our godly counsel is Monsignor Charles Pope. He leads us in prayer.
On this Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Lord, we thank you, and we're mindful of Elijah, who summoned Israel to a great purity of worship and to forsake all false gods. And I'm mindful, too, of the Carmelite order and their work to do the same thing, to summon us to a greater purity and love of God. So help us, Lord, save us, and keep us always by your grace through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria has Mother Angelica's thought for the day.
The Father's humility astounds us as we see how hidden and silent he is in all his creation.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, just a reminder, those are available for each and every person at EWTNRC.com. It's our Mother Angelica perpetual calendar, which means it never goes out of date. You can have it in your kitchen, or which is where we have ours. And, you know, as long as you can avoid the gravy stains, you're in good shape.
I mean, it's super practical that it's just the month and the day. So you use it forever. It's great.
In the news on this Monday morning, President Trump meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin today in Helsinki, Finland. The summit comes just after Robert Mueller's indictment of 12 Russian intelligence officials. Many lawmakers are pushing for Trump to confront Putin on the topic of Russia election meddling. Here's White House National Security Advisor John Bolton.
I think the president's going into this meeting determined to advance the national interest of the United States. That's what he was elected to do.
President Trump met with President Sauli Niinistö of Finland this morning ahead of his summit with Putin. At the meeting, President Trump commented on meeting President Niinistö at last week's NATO summit in Brussels, where he pressed member nations to spend more on defense.
NATO has, I think, never been stronger. And it was really, it was a little bit tough at the beginning, and it turned out to be love.
Finland is not a NATO member, but cooperates with NATO in some operations. Terrible news yesterday, a highway pileup involving a charter bus, a tractor trailer, and two other vehicles in New Mexico that left three people dead. Two dozen others were hospitalized. Rescuers used hydraulic cutters to pull some of the victims from the mangled vehicles. Sandoval County Sheriff's Lieutenant Keith Elder said the chain reaction began when the bus tried to avoid a crash between a car and a pickup truck. The accident also left three other passengers in critical condition. Gloria, you were saying that you were once released by the jaws of life, right?
Yeah. A lady actually ran a red light and T-boned me, and thankfully my parents had a large Lincoln Continental, I believe it's what it was.
Wow.
No, Lincoln Town Car.
Okay.
And they had to cut me out using the jaws of life, and you know, I'm just thankful to be alive and walking, actually.
We are thankful for that as well. Elsewhere in the news, at 4 minutes after, controversial police shootings raise more questions about the use of force. In response to protests that left police officers injured, authorities in Chicago have released footage from body cams that appear to show a man who was shot and killed by a police officer Saturday night was armed. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson has identified the man as 37-year-old Harith Augustus of Chicago. He is a local barber.
To the family of Mr. Augustus, I offer you my sincerest condolences for your loss, especially as a parent, as a father.
Officials previously said Augustus was exhibiting characteristics of an armed person. They went to question him, leading to the confrontation that turned violent. As senators are gearing up for a fierce confirmation battle for President Trump's Supreme Court pick, pro-life activists are encouraging his critics to bring up the topic of abortion. Here is David Osteen of the National Right to Life.
If the opposition and the Democratic Party wants to make abortion the issue in this Supreme Court nomination and go after Judge Kavanaugh on the issue of abortion, it will probably prove helpful to the pro-life side.
Osteen predicts Democratic senators up for re-election will be in trouble if they vote against Judge Brett Kavanaugh. He says the majority of Americans who vote on the issue of abortion choose pro-life candidates. Across the pond, Christian Dr. David McCarrath claims he was denied employment in England because he would not refer to transgender people using their preferred pronouns. McCarrath was training to take a job as a disability assessor, but maintained his belief that sex is genetic and biological and is the basis of gender. In an interview with The Telegraph, McCarrath said, "I don't believe I should be compelled to use a specific pronoun. I'm not setting out to upset anybody, but if upsetting someone can lead to doctors being sacked, then as a society, we have to examine where we're going." Mm-hmm. Elsewhere in the news, authorities have arrested a priest in Chile accused of sexually abusing minors. This is the latest in an ongoing scandal in the South American country. Oscar Munoz Toledo is the first active priest to be arraigned for sexual abuse in Chile. Munoz is accused of abuse and statutory rape of 7 minors. The prosecution says there could be even more victims. Kenya's high court is investigating the possibility of making abortion, quote, safe. The court is hearing a case brought on behalf of a young woman who died last month from complications from an abortion she received in 2014. The girl, known only by her initials, JMM, began experiencing severe bleeding. Visiting a local clinic, she said she had undergone an unsafe abortion. In 2015, her mother filed a suit against the Ministry of Health, claiming JMM was not provided with proper care, calling on the government to provide access to safe abortions. Whatever that is.
Oxymoron.
Yeah, no kidding.
Somebody always dies.
The Kenyan High Court heard 3 days of testimony, a verdict expected before the end of the year. Well, the new champions of soccer is France. In the second highest scoring World Cup final ever, France beats Croatia 4-2 in Russia, with the most goals in a final since 1958, tied at 1 in the first half, the French scoring 3 straight goals. France winning one other World Cup back in 1998, they are the 6th nation to win multiple cups. Or as we say, Lourdes defeated Medjugorje, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
And finally in the news at 8 after the hour, this is the day Amazon shoppers have been waiting for to see what deals the online retailer offers for its Prime Day sale that kicks off later today. It's going to last through Tuesday. I believe 36 hours is what they're now saying. The average shopper reportedly expected to spend over $160. Amazon says it's growing its market share when it comes to back-to-school shopping. Prime Day is key in that effort. The company says last year on Prime Day, customers bought more pencils, pens, notebooks, glue sticks, lunch boxes, and backpacks than on any other day of the year. That is really something.
I know, right? I guess people are like, hey, I can get something for a good deal. And I'm assuming that they get it shipped free if this is the Amazon Prime stuff.
Yeah, it's two-day free shipping. They're saying that they should be able to make good on all of that.
Right. Well, you know, actually, now, is it really free? Can you really say it's free shipping when you have to pay a membership? I think that's what Walmart is trying to say. Come to them. They have actual free shipping, no membership. But hey, I could understand wanting to get all the good deals and get it sent to you.
I'm just happy people are still using glue sticks.
Right.
They are not gone yet. People are still doing crafts
in
school.
They're still around. That's a good thing.
Speaking of technology, strange technology, I saw this article where they're testing in Japan where people can wear these, I guess, modified computer screens on their face. And you could, somebody would hire you and that person's face would appear on the screen and you could go to events for them and you would interact with the invited person through the screen on the other person's face. So let's say I couldn't go somewhere and Elisa could. Elisa would put on this modified sort of television set on her face, go to the event for me, but I would show up on the screen.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Is that weird or what?
I'm a Gemini, so that's perfect for me.
I tell you what, if I invited somebody to my house to a party and somebody showed up wearing them on a television screen, they'd both get kicked out. I was like, you gotta go.
Hit the road, Jack.
I mean, you know, that's just where technology's taking us, huh?
What spectrum, do you think, Monsignor?
Well, on the spectrum of virtual and reality, there's more virtual than reality there going on. And that I think I'm for reality because reality is about truth.
I'm for reality too, also.
Amen.
And how does that affect the person wearing the television screen? Like, you're going there, they're just using your body. You know, that's just a little too strange. You know, that's weird. Now I can understand having your computer and using your little FaceTime, but to have somebody wearing it and
I would do a lot of things for you, Gloria, a lot of things, but that is not one of them.
If I asked you that, make sure that the person asking you is actually me and not somebody else impersonating me, because never. But you know, this thing in England though with Dr. McCarrath is quite troubling, namely because it's a government agency that fired him for a basic biological truth. I mean, you don't have to be a believer in God. You just have to have eyes that work, and you can observe the natural world to know that humans are male and female. And so for him to lose his job because he's like, I'm not going to refer to a man by whatever pronouns. I'm going to refer to a man as what he is, a he. And same thing for a woman. And to be told, nope, you cannot have this job because of that is troublesome, very troubling.
Yeah, we expect you to live in unreality and be happy about it. If you're not happy and grinning all the time, we're going to kill you.
Well, and the mob
and we're the
that
tolerant
comes after
ones.
People like this. You know, and I on my Facebook page actually had mentioned that it's not kindness to refer to a male as a female. Mm-hmm. And I in a later post, I also talked about it's really an evasion of reasoning to refer to a man as a female and a female as a man. I mean, you just have to completely put aside your natural logic, you know, powers of logic to use this invented language, really.
Isn't it strange that in an age that almost idolizes sciences, the physical sciences, that suddenly, you know, when these ideologies set up, we're supposed to surrender all that. I would also say that, you know, again, at some point, you got to be able to look someone in the eye and say, I love you too much to lie to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
No, dear, you're not a boy. You're a girl.
Well, when you read,
vice versa.
Tom, you were going to say?
I was just thinking about what else is going on in Britain right now. These buffer zones. Are you following this story?
No, tell us about it.
Elisa, you know more about this.
Yeah, so we all know that the High Court last month did uphold where I think it's 150 yards.
Oh, with the
you're not allowed to be in front of abortion clinics.
Right.
And one woman did come out strongly saying that, please, we need to have these sidewalk counselors because she herself held on to her baby 7 years ago because of it. And it's becoming a real issue. You know, just last week we had the story about that priest outside of Parliament in Ontario for the last 30 years has been praying for people going in, but to not be able to interact with these people that are making these decisions that will scar them for the rest of their lives is just really troubling.
You know, I remember now that they are not allowing prayer vigils outside abortion clinics in the UK, which is quite disturbing and for a number of reasons. Number one is telling us that as believers, we can't even just go out there and pray. You know, that somehow praying in and of itself has become some kind of problematic activity outside of abortion clinics. When we know, as talking to priests and other religious who go outside abortion clinics, when they show up and pray, that for some reason there's a lot of activity that goes on inside the clinic. A lot of, you know, you have to, I truly believe it's a spiritual battle and that when we're out there praying, we are contending with the forces of evil.
And I will say there's something desperately wrong in the heart of England right now. In other words, for example, all these terrible children who have been, you know, they're taken away from their parents so that the state can put them to death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where are common Englishmen and women standing up to this will end, you know, but it just doesn't seem to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we have a little good news here. Jenny Stepanek, mother of Maddie Stepanek, whose cause for sainthood is moving forward. She's going to be joining us next to discuss the life of her son. That's coming up next here on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start. because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
16 minutes after the hour. Don't forget, later this afternoon, it's EWTN Open Line Monday with our fabulous apologist extraordinaire, John Martinoni. He will show you how to better defend your faith. You know what you believe, but it's not always the easiest thing to defend it to somebody, perhaps at a party or in a social situation or even at the grocery. And somebody says, well, you're a Catholic. What about such and such? And you don't want to be sitting there going, you really don't want to do that. Find out how to defend your faith by listening to John Martinoni today on EWTN's Open Line Monday. That'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. We're going to bring back now Monsignor Charles Pope.
Yeah, and we're joined now by Jenny Stepanek. And Jenny, you and I go way back. You're the mother of Maddie Stepanek, who died in 2004 of a rare genetic disease. Well, we can talk about that in a minute. But I have to say, you as a Catholic and a mother have been through a lot. I certainly was with you in those years when Katie and Stevie and Jamie, your other three children, all died of the same illness. And Maddie stayed with us longer, and what a gift he was. So tell us a little, Jenny, about Maddie and his cause for sainthood that's moving forward here in the Archdiocese.
First, Father, I'm sorry, I say Father Charles, I should say Monsignor Pope. I was at your ordination. Yes, we go way back. and it's so good to talk with you again. I believe the last time you and I connected was at Maddie's 10-year anniversary after his death. Mm-hmm. You celebrated the Mass when his cause of canonization was really beginning to become formed by committed Catholics. Maddie was the youngest of my four children, and being a good Irish Catholic, I had four children in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that I had this genetic disease that I was passing on to them. Being the youngest, Maddie had the blessing of living the longest because we had some medical hindsight, and he lived almost 14 years. Mm-hmm. And what I like to say is that Maddie's story, Maddie's legacy, Maddie's inspiration is not about a young child who died, but about a young man who lived, a young man who spent all 14 years living with purpose. And that purpose, he said, was from God. And the purpose was to shape a message of hope and peace for others of all ages and abilities and aspirations so they could understand how God wanted them to live in community with hope and peace. And he did that from the beginning of his life till literally the last breath of his life. He lived for others and for God.
And I want to say, you know, he had a wisdom beyond his years, probably because of his suffering, but he was a beautiful writer. He became known throughout the world. Jimmy Carter helped to promote his writings, and here more recently, Raymond Arroyo and others have joined. He's just an astonishing witness to the call for peace, but also to live very closely with God. And I perhaps just a little bit about his writings, if you could say a word to us, his fundamental message of peace.
Well, Maddie left behind seven books of hope and peace. Some of them are poetry, and some are essays and letters and communications. And basically, in a nutshell, the message is that hope, it's not an illusion. It's real. And when rooted in faith, it becomes an energy that moves us through any moment, whether the moment is suffering or celebration. It moves us through that moment with strength into some next moment. The message is peace is possible. Peace is not about having to agree with our neighbors, but about learning to be with our neighbors, to be there non-judgmentally, to be there with forgiveness, with kindness, with nurturing people and tending to their basic human needs, loving our neighbors. And the third part of his message is that life is worthy. We all want to live longer. We all want to do well, be well, and yes, there is also suffering and there are traumatic events in the world, but life is still worthy despite all of that because God is with us in those moments. And no matter how dark a moment may seem, the darker the moment, the brighter the smallest flicker of light seems. So Maddie suffered tremendously through his life, but he also celebrated and had such joy in life. And some of that was because he understood every little bit of light, and he relished it, cherished it. And some of it was just because he was friends with God. He knew that life was, in fact, worthy.
Oh, Jenny, one of the things that strikes me is that you've had four children pass on. Maddie lived the longest, and you talk about his suffering. But as a mother, I can only imagine the suffering that you experienced. And as we celebrate Our Lady of Mount Carmel today, I'm wondering if you could talk about your relationship with the Blessed Mother in helping you deal with losing a child. Or children.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Jesus told us, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I have been at the end of my rope four times and more. And I have had moments where I have questioned, why would I want to take the next breath? Why do I want to go on? And I have prayed to the Blessed Mother to just give me inspiration. How did you kneel at the foot of the cross and watch your son die? I've watched all four of my children die. I was present to inhale each child's final breath. And it's not easy, and I have different ways of moving forward depending on the moment and the pain and the joy that I'm seeking. And sometimes I just pray to God for inspiration from within, and sometimes I get that, and sometimes I actually don't. There are times that I am hurting so bad that I don't feel God. But what I can do is I look to others, and somehow I experience God through others. I allow them to be the presence of God for me and get me back on path. And when I'm at the end of my rope, when I am that poor in spirit, there's somebody there reaching out a hand to pull me in and give me a little more rope. And then suddenly you're in that next moment, and life goes on, and you can be a source of strength for others again.
Jane, just a couple quick things before we have to wrap up, but I want to ask you, yesterday or this past weekend was annual Peace Day celebration in Maryland, and how was Maddie's legacy wrapped up in that event?
Well, peace mattered to Maddie, and since he died, the city of Rockville, Maryland, where he lived, has dedicated his birthday, which is July 17th, as Peace Day for all neighbors in the city. We celebrate on the weekend closest to his birthday. This year made a huge leap because the county, Montgomery County, and the governor of Maryland both decided we're going to start celebrating Peace Day at a bigger and bigger level. So the governor declared Maddie's birthday tomorrow was a day of peace. Montgomery County did that. We celebrated Saturday, but tomorrow is technically Peace Day. And what next? In August, the Catholic schools in the area of St. Elizabeth's in Rockville is going to begin a devotional prayer in honor of Maddie that the children will say daily, and a mass on the Feast of St. Matthew, a gift of God mass, is going to be celebrated in the name of hope and peace. That's part of Maddie's legacy and the group of people who are moving his cause, who are gathering information for his possible cause forward.
Good, and that's just the final thing I was just going to say, that here in the Archdiocese, there is a guild that exists to continue to present his cause for sainthood right now at the level of the Archdiocese, and that's moving forward. And I know that, Maddie lived a very saintly life, and we're grateful for his witness, but also for yours, a beautiful testimony regarding your own struggle with sorrow. And bless you, Jenny. It's good to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us this morning and keeping us up to date on things with Maddie and his writings. So bless you.
Thank you, and I appreciate this opportunity to share, and it's wonderful to connect with you again. You matter.
Okay. Bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. By the way, you can follow that with by going to Maddie Online, M-A-T-T-I-E, MattieOnline.com. 26 after the hour. What an amazing woman. I'm just really kind of stunned here. Yeah. I didn't jump in because I was just listening to everything that she was saying. Just ahead of Monsignor Charles Pope talking about penance and punishment, let's bring on Catholic Chatter with Elisa.
We've heard from Rena, who remembers seeing Maddie years ago on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she is so happy to hear about his cause moving forward. We've also heard from Mary regarding our conversation on crafts and technology, and she says, thanks very much, but no face screens for me, staying with the glue sticks.
There you go.
Right on.
Thank you, Monsignor Charles Pope, our godly counsel today with his take on penance and punishment.
Yeah, you know, I have a blog post out there today in my regular blog, and I would say that I get questions every now and again, especially when people come to confession. Well, you know, the priest always just says, say a Father and a Hail Mary almost no matter what I do, or the punishment doesn't seem to match the crime. And I'm like, well, because a penance isn't really a punishment.
Right.
There's a distinction. And the distinction, well, let's talk about the word penance for a minute. It comes from a Latin word, pine, which means almost or close, but not quite there. And the idea is that penance is a sense that we have that I've missed the mark, that I've fallen short somehow. And there's a sorrow associated with it. So an act of penance is fundamentally an act of sorrow. It's not simply where we're trying to say, I'm trying to pay back what I owe, or I'm trying to, you know, do something punishing to get back into God's good favor. No, it's simply, it's an act of sorrow. And so anyway, I'll leave it there. There's more in my blog posts, but there's a very big difference. Priests are not punishing you. They're giving you a little act of sorrow.
Lots more coming up here on Morning Glory. We are coming up on 28 after the hour. Stay
Catholic
with us.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory. Morning Glory.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Later today on Catholic Answers Live, Jimmy Akin joins us for 2 hours of open forum, taking calls on any aspect of the Catholic faith from Catholics and non-Catholics alike. Catholic Answers Live, 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now back to Morning Glory.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Glad you're with us today. It is half past the hour. This is Tom Price here on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. It is Monday morning, July 16th. We are joined by Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Also in Washington, D.C., Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope. He leads us in prayer.
Today on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Lord, we ask your grace and your mercy that we're not just acknowledging another Feast of Our Lady, but a call to conversion. And that daily call that she calls us to, and also that Elijah up on Mount Carmel called the people of Israel and all of us to. So please, Lord, keep us deepening in our conversion as we walk with Our Lady and we walk with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was just thinking about all that last year when Adrienne and I went to the Holy Land. We got to go to Carmel.
Beautiful
and it is just beautiful, just stunning. Well, Gloria, you've got a musing coming up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to actually talk about the brown scapular, the confraternity of the brown scapular, and is it just simply a good luck charm, or is there more to it? So I'll talk about that in my musing.
Sounds good. In the news, during his Angelus address on Sunday, Pope Francis focused on the idea of missionary discipleship. In the gospel reading, the disciples were ordered to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, you'll recall. Pope Francis says this means Jesus wants his disciples to be free, depending on only on the love of him who sends them, strengthened only by his word, which they proclaim. He added, and you got to love this, missionary disciples are not all-powerful managers or irreplaceable functionaries or divas on tour. I
Divas
love that. Yeah. A difficult time today for crews battling a wildfire that broke out near Yosemite National Park. A firefighter has been killed during an incident with a bulldozer while operating heavy machinery to cut what's called a fire break to prevent the 150-acre Ferguson fire from spreading. Making matters even worse, first responders could not even retrieve Braden Varney's body hours after his death on Saturday. CAL FIRE Unit Chief Nancy Koprich says Varney leaves behind a wife and two children.
Because of the location of the dozer rollover, there isn't an ability for us to get in there and get him out right now.
The fire has now spread to over 4,000 acres. With President Trump's big summit meeting today with Russian President Vladimir Putin, we're going to talk with national security expert Megan Rice of the R Street Institute. Hey, good morning, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Well, thanks for joining us. So what can we expect from this summit?
So what's going to happen is President Trump and Putin are going to meet privately for about an hour and a half without interpreters, without note takers, and they're going to discuss a wide variety of issues from Syria to likely Ukraine, Crimea, to NATO and the EU.
Now, that's interesting that you had mentioned that without interpreters. So who speaks what language?
Well, so without note takers and without without people there to advise them. Sorry, interpreters was wrong. They will. Although I have read reports that there will be no interpreters. Putin does speak English.
Interesting.
There's a possibility that that's accurate. These summits have, I think the thing that everyone should note is that there will be no advisors in the summit.
Okay.
There will be no one to kind of make sure that the agenda stays in America's favor.
Right.
And now, the current expectation is they won't discuss the indictments or the election meddling.
They will not they're not going to talk about the indictments.
Probably not. To the extent they do, it won't be a deep discussion. Trump has already said that if he brought it up, Putin will just deny it. So there's not much point to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a stronger future in our relationship with Russia given this summit today? What do you think?
I think that President Trump will walk away saying that they resolved a stronger future between Russia and the U.S. and a more peaceful future. I do not see the U.S. foreign policy establishment or analysts believing that that's true, given that Russia has been aggressive towards NATO. It has invaded countries. It has been attacking us and our allies through cyber attacks consistently. And we believe that Putin and Russia will try to interfere in our midterm elections. So we think that it cannot be peaceful unless they stop those actions. And a lot of people think that, given Trump's tweets today, that he blames the U.S. for the bad relations, not Russia for the bad relations, that Trump will believe that we'll have a more peaceful future after the summit.
Megan Rice of the R Street Institute. We ask everybody to be sure to follow all of Megan's great work, rstreet.org, rstreet.org. Hey, Megan, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling on teachers to get out the vote in November to protect union rights. Addressing the American Federation of Teachers in Pittsburgh on Saturday, Warren applauded teachers for fighting for better pay, better conditions, and more school funding.
America is failing our teachers, and when we fail our teachers, we fail our students, and we fail our future.
Many Democrats are hoping the senator, who is pro-abortion, will challenge President Trump in the 2020 presidential election. Elsewhere in the news, pro-lifers in Britain are attempting to overturn a ban on prayer and public discussion of abortion nearing a London-area abortion clinic. We talked about this before the break. Earlier this month, a UK high court upheld a ruling that protesters cannot get any closer than 110 yards of that clinic. One woman challenging the ruling says sidewalk counselors helped talk her out of an abortion 7 years ago. Finally, some very good news out of the UK. Prince William and Duchess Kate of Cambridge released the official photograph of the christening of their third child, baby Prince Louis, on Sunday. Or is that Louis? Is it Prince Louis or Louis?
I don't know. It's England. It's not France. So I think they're going to go with the Louis.
Louis it is. The baby is fifth in line to the throne. Are either of you Anglophiles? Any of you there?
No. Well, no, but I do like the language. and I will say that I wonder when they use the word christening, You know, of course, that literally means anointing with oil. It doesn't mean, so baptism, I guess, is what they're probably talking about.
Ah, I see.
That'd be my guess.
Okay. Very good.
I like clotted cream. I like clotted cream and the tea. I've had it, all that stuff, so that's what I like about the. If you, that makes me an Anglophile, then okay, yeah.
Very good. 38 after the hour. Time now for Morning Glory's musing.
You know, some time ago, I was at a beach, and I was sitting under an umbrella, and I was actually reading St. John of the Cross, and I noticed this young man, real buff, oh my gosh, really fit, big, muscular dude, looked like he could have played pro football, all tatted out. And as he's running along, I was like, oh, yo, he's wearing a brown scapular. And I was like, you know, how interesting to see this young man. You know, we would think, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, he'd be all into things for the brown scapular, just because we tend to not give young people the benefit of the doubt, I think. But to see him at the beach with his brown scapular on, I was like, okay, he's committed. Because one of the conditions for the brown scapular is that you have to wear it continuously. Now, if you read the frequently asked questions, yes, you can take it off when you bathe. But this guy was like, I'm down for the promises. I'm keeping my scapular on. And so it made me think about, well, what are the promises that the Blessed Mother made to people who continuously wear the brown scapular and follow all the other conditions? On the scapular, some of them say, whosoever dies wearing the scapular shall not suffer eternal fire, Our Lady's scapular promise. And more importantly, if you want to read more about it, you can read, I think, the bull of one of the popes. We talk specifically about what Our Lady says, but it's well known that they said that she says she shall descend on the Saturday after the person's death, and whosoever she finds in purgatory, she shall free them so that she may lead them to the holy mountain of life everlasting. So it's a promise that you won't go to hell and you ain't going to be in purgatory forever. Wow, what an awesome promise. But there are conditions. You wear the scapular continuously. You observe chastity according to one's state in life, whether you're married or single. And then they have certain other things regarding prayers. You can recite daily the little office of the Blessed Virgin, observe the fast of the church together with abstaining from meat on Wednesdays and Saturdays, or with the permission of a priest, say your rosary, or substitute some other good work. And those are things that you are supposed to do every day. I mean, the brown scapular is not just some kind of like good luck charm that, you know, or a rabbit's foot, you just carry it and it brings these magical things. No, it calls you to a change in your life, right? It calls you to understand that the Blessed Mother made these promises. And if you will, it means she's right there with you. You know, as you're walking along and suffering the temptations of life, she's right there with you, and you call out to her and ask for her help. I mean, but it does require you to make a change. You just can't go on living and say, hey, yeah, look, I got this brown scapular. I'm supposed to be, you know, retrieved from purgatory, saved from hell. No, we expect that you would want to live a life that's one that's devoted to Christ, and that you're actively trying to change your life and you're seeking the aid of the Blessed Mother. So if you wanted to know more about the scapular, or to get one and to get enrolled in the confraternity, you can visit sistersofcarmel.com online. They hand make these scapulars out of wool. They have a frequently asked question. And it used to be the only Carmelite priest can enroll you. Now any priest can enroll you in the confraternity as long as they follow the formula, which is also available at that website. So no, it is not a good luck charm. It actually does require you to make some changes to your life, which is for your betterment, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the old rite, there were reserved blessings, benedictio reservata, and among them were the scapular, but also even the rosary. Mm-hmm. Technically, a parish priest couldn't, only a Dominican could bless a rosary, but all that's been relaxed.
Thank goodness.
I will say that, let's talk about the word scapular for a minute. It comes from the Latin scapulis, meaning like shoulders or shoulder blades, you know. But is that part of that's that type of a garment that's meant to clothe our like a blouse or a shirt, our shoulders and our upper torso area. So this is, although they're very minimal, they're small little square, you know, patches. Generally, they go back to a time when it would have covered the whole shoulders and as part of the Carmelite habit. Mm-hmm. And again, the idea to be clothed in Christ and clothed in righteousness and his holiness is the idea that we walk clothed in the grace of Jesus Christ. So this is, of course, what saves. The piece of cloth, that can't help you.
Right.
It's got to be Jesus.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, Our Lady helps us to walk more closely with Jesus. But as you say, it is not a rabbit's foot or some luck charm. It is a sign of my dedication to our Lord and walking with Our Lady and asking for her help and intercession. That's what signifies. There's also, an understanding that... We were talking about chastity. A lot of people think chastity is something that religious... No, chastity is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Chastity means, as you pointed out, Gloria, to live in accord with one's state in life. Obviously, then, if one is married, to be wholly devoted to their spouse, both in body and in spirit, soul, mind, to be devoted. And then, likewise, for those of us who are unmarried, to stay completely free of any sexual, genital sexual contact with others, and to live in that state. And this is challenging today, but many do it, and they do it well. And this is the summons that we're called to today. It's a special witness in a time like these, isn't it? That we have to. So many people just throw all that off and say, "Oh, no big deal." And yeah, it is, because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, the real heart of unchastity leads to things like abortion and children being born outside of wedlock, and it's always going to be, at the end of the day, the children that suffer because of unchastity.
Well, and also I think that when you live an unchaste life, it's very chaotic. There's a lot of chaos in that. You don't have a sort of self-mastery. Mm-hmm. You don't have this... I think being married allows me a freedom to have friendship with men, because it's clear that it's a disinterested friendship. It's not a romantic relationship, and it allows that. It allows me that. But when you're living an unchaste life, to me, that I have a saying, the world tells you to treat your body like a merry-go-round. But I'm here to tell you there's lots of go-round, but very little Mary. That, to me, is what an unchaste life leads to.
Well, I'm certainly blessed to wear the brown scapular, have been since 1996.
Amen.
So has Adrienne.
Beautiful.
We witness to each other. What's coming up next, Gloria?
We'll be talking to a good friend of ours, Luke Faulkner. He's with Human Life Action. We're going to be talking about a new pro-life video campaign. Stay tuned to hear how you can participate next on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. We value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
Well, welcome back. It's Monday, July 16th, 2018, the memorial of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. If you've got an app, you've got to get the EWTN app, because on it you'll find EWTN Radio Classics. It's our 24/7 teaching and devotional channel from the EWTN archives, where you can hear from Mother Angelica, Patrick Madrid, Father Benedict Groeschel, and many, many more. You can find them online at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app. I'm Gloria Purvis, coming at you from our studio in Washington, D.C. We're joined by Tom Price, who's in Birmingham, Alabama. Good morning. We also have our producer, Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel today, Monsignor Charles Pope. He is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church right here in Washington, D.C. And in studio, we have a very good friend, Luke Faulkner. He's a social media coordinator with Human Life Action. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, ladies and gents. How are you guys today?
We're good. Good. Glad to have you here. For our listeners who are unfamiliar with Human Life Action, could you give them a brief overview of who you all are?
Sure, yeah. We're the official pro-life grassroots organization of the U.S. Catholic bishops. We were founded back in 1974 by the U.S. bishops, so we work on the federal level advocating for pro-life federal legislative action alerts.
Well, amen. So I understand that you all have a new video campaign coming out. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, ma'am. So we're asking anyone and everyone to partake in a 30 to 45 second pro-life video campaign. I don't want to give too much information away, but we do have some U.S. bishops on board, some pretty big names in the pro-life movement, but we're asking high schoolers, college students, old and young, everyone in between, to partake in this. Video submissions for this 30 to 45 second pro-life campaign is due August 3rd, which is a Friday, by the end of business day, which is 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And we're just asking people to tell us why they're pro-life. It's a simple idea. So.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something hot here, because this is the age of the short attention span.
That's right.
And
what did you say?
You can, If you can grab somebody in 10 seconds, then they're getting the message.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And we didn't want to go over a minute. 30 seconds is plenty. 45 seconds. All right. You have some time to tell us why you're pro-life. But yeah, it's such a great and simple, easy way to reach the thousands, letting the United States, letting the world know why we are the pro-life generation and why we're here to end abortion.
Well, the other thing is it takes this myth out of the play that everybody is trying to say that only old white men are pro-life because they want to control women's sexuality. No, we want to get out there and tell them, look at the diversity of pro-life movement, many of them led by women.
Amen.
So I think this is just brilliant because it gives the truth of the face of the movement in front of those lies that we hear from NARAL and Planned Parenthood.
That's exactly it, Gloria. And, you know, they're really, our generation really is that generation that will end abortion. We are the pro-life generation. And there are so many, like you were saying, so many pro-life leaders who are feminists,
yeah.
who are pro-life feminists, who mm-hmm. they're the face of the pro-life movement. And so we're asking everyone to send in their videos. And that diversity is what makes us who we are.
So are you the one that has to look at the 30 to 45 second video and say, yeah, nah?
I will be filtering through them, yes. I will also be editing them, just making them with our watermark logo on there. But yeah, we're really excited. We'll be putting them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Human Life Action. So.
So a question, have you had stories already? People send in videos already? Or?
No, we've had a lot of interest, probably over 25 people already.
All right.
So the more the merrier.
All right.
We probably won't have a limit, but we'll be putting them out pretty regularly till the end of the year.
So what do you expect after you do this campaign? What are your end goals you're hoping as a result of the campaign?
Well, we just really want to get the word out as to why people are pro-life. Mm-hmm. I think, again, it's such a simple, easy message. I mean, we're asking people to do a selfie-styled video with their cell phone. If you have a nicer camera, perfect. You don't have to put in the time or energy for that. But just 30 to 45 seconds, just letting people know why they're pro-life. I think this is such an important time as well. I mean, anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get the word out, when we let more and more people know why they are pro-life, why they advocate for the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception, what a more powerful way than to let people know on social media mm-hmm. through video.
So is this something, let's say at my parish, if I'm like, wow, I know a lot of pro-life people here, can I just show up? Well, of course, with the pastor's permission. Let me just say this. After Mass and have like my little iPad and ask people to come and sit down and let me record them?
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of the pro-life grassroots movement.
All right. And how would I send this? So tell me how it works. Like, how do I get it to you?
Sure. So you can send it to us either on Instagram. You can send to us on Facebook. Those are the simplest ways. Mm-hmm. I prefer maybe Google Drive or something similar to Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
You can also email me at lfaulkner@nchla.org, and Faulkner as in William Faulkner.
So. Got it. nchla.org.
nchla.org. Yes.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to say, I think this is you answered my one question, which is you don't have to. They don't have to. You don't have to go out there with cameras to them. They send you the video, and
that's right.
Very, very modern in our, you know, like you say, our selfie generation. But the other thing is that do you give any parameters? Here's what you might want to do. You know, if you can do a 30 to 45, you know, your camera goes on like.
Right. We thought about doing that. We really want it to be as raw. And I just said So we really want to be as raw as possible.
Okay.
If it comes to the point where it's a really, you know, this person has a really good message, but it's just they're jumbling everywhere.
Yeah,
we might just have them, you know, say, hey, can you go back and do this again?
Right.
But we really want to keep it open. Good. We were thinking about having it scripted, but
don't
go for it. Speak from the heart, you know?
Yeah.
Is there a hashtag already set up with this?
There's no hashtag, but for all your listeners, if you have something out there, please do let us know. You can tweet us at Human Life Action. You can also send us a message on Facebook or Instagram. Send me an email. Let me know what your creative hashtags are, and we love to use those for the videos.
Well, you've heard it here. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. Luke, is it also up on the website? Is there a little call to action there?
There's no call to action yet. Our executive director is out of town at the moment, but once he gets back, we will have something up on our website, yes.
Very good.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you so much for joining us. Luke Faulkner, social media coordinator for Human Life Action. You can find them on Twitter at Human Life Life Action, and I'm assuming same thing on Facebook.
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and YouTube.
All right, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Gloria.
Thanks so much. Coming up on 54 After, let's bring on Elisa Murphy one more time with Catholic Chatter.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. You can email the show directly anytime, morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from Hannah this morning, very excited about this new pro-life video campaign. She said she might need an hour, though. I don't know if that's allowed. So we'll see how that works out, Hannah. Make sure to participate. We've also heard from Tony on this historic summit today between Vladimir Putin and President Trump. She notes the fact that it is occurring on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and Our Lady was so intent upon the conversion of Russia, and she is the patron saint of our country. Mm-hmm. So please keep that in mind today as we do hope for a more peaceful world.
Thank you so much. Monsignor Charles Pope has a quick look at today's gospel.
You know, it says, whoever receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So what's a prophet's reward? Well, the very righteousness of God, because what does a prophet do? A prophet says, thus saith the Lord. A prophet speaks to us and gives us an opportunity, having heard a word from the Lord, then to not just hear it, but be transformed by it. The Word of God does not just inform, it performs and it transforms.
Amen.
Amen.
And that means that if you receive a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. It's the transformation for which we long. That, Gloria, you were saying earlier, you know, just living a good life of moderation, and it's simpler and without all the struggles and stuff that comes from sin.
Tell the truth.
It's a simpler life, more beautiful life. Not completely sorrow free. We're living in a fallen world, but it's so much nicer to live in God's light than in the darkness and confusion of the world. So that's the prophet's reward, to have a word that transforms, not just informs, and it also performs.
Amen. Woo.
Beautiful.
I
remember back in the day when Adrienne and I both had our conversions about the same time in the late 90s. I remember saying to her, it's good to know where the fence is. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That life of moderation is very freeing, actually.
Yes.
Good to know. Otherwise, you fall right into the pit, right? And that scripture
says,
blind lead the blind, and they both fall in the pit.
All right.
The fence keeps us out of the pit.
Better believe it. Gloria, who's on tomorrow's show?
We're going to have our Cajun kookiness with Father Bryce Sibley tomorrow.
Yes, and we continue our Sacred Summer Music Series with a seminarian, Justin Ward, with us.
Justin is a great guy. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So until tomorrow then, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
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 On behalf of our wonderful team here, here in Birmingham and also in Washington, D.C., I'm Tom Price. You have yourselves a wonderful day. We will see you tomorrow on EWTN Radio's Morning Glory. Have a blessed day.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.